भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमां देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जायामुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमाश्लोके भक्तेर्भवति नैष्टके।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 87 टेक्स्ट नंबर 2।
श्रीशुक उवाच बुद्धिन्द्रियमना प्राणा जनानाम् असृजत् प्रभो मात्रार्थं च भवार्थं च आत्मने कल्पनयाच्च। श्रीशुक उवाच बुद्धिन्द्रियमना प्राणा जनानामस्यजत् प्रभो मात्रार्थं च भवार्थं च कल्पना आत्मने कल्पनाय च। श्रीशुक उवाच बुद्धिन्द्रियमना प्राणान् जनानाम् आसृजत् प्रभो मात्रार्थं च भवार्थं च आत्मने कल्पनाय च।
माताजी
श्रीशुक उवाच। शुकदेव गोस्वामी सेड बुद्धि मटीरियल इंटेलिजेंस इंद्रिया सेंसेस मनः माइंड प्राणान एंड वाइटल एयर जनानाम ऑफ द लिविंग एंटिटीज असृजत sent forth. Prabhu, the Supreme Lord. Matra, of sense gratification. Artham, for the sake. Cha, and. Bhava, of birth and the activities that follow it. Artham, for the sake. Cha, and. Atmane, for the soul and his attainment of happiness in his next life. Akalpanaya, for his ultimate abandonment of material motives. Cha, and. Translation. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, the Supreme Lord manifested the material intelligence, senses, mind and the vital air of the living entities so that they could indulge their desires for sense gratification, take repeated births to engage in fruitive activities, become elevated in future lives and ultimately attain liberation. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Continue the purport from yesterday. Lord Matsya assures King Satyavrat that the absolute truth can be known from the words of the Vedas. Madhyam mayamanam cha param brahmeti shabditam vetyas anugrahitam me samprashner vivritam mridi. You will be thoroughly advised and favored by me, and because of your inquiries, everything about my glories, which are known as Param Brahma, will be manifested within your heart. Thus, you will know everything about me. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 24, Verse number 38. The fortunate soul who has been graced by the Supreme Lord with divine inquisitiveness will ask questions about nature of the Absolute, and by hearing the answers given by the great sages, which are recorded in the Vedic literatures, he will come to understand the Lord as He is. Thus, only by the special mercy of the Supreme Person does Brahman become Shabditam, literally denoted by words. Otherwise, without the Lord's exceptional grace, the words of the Vedas cannot reveal the absolute truth. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti suggests that the word Buddhi in this verse, spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, can indicate the Mahat Tattva, from which evolve the various expansions of ether, such as sound, which are designated here as Indriya. Matrartham then means for the sake of using transcendental sound to describe Brahman. Since for that precise purpose, the Supreme Lord inspired Prakriti to evolve ether and sound. A further understanding of the purpose of creation is spoken by the words Bhavartham and Atmane Kalpanaya. If the reading Kalpanaya instead of Akalpanaya is taken, Bhavartham means for the good of the living entities. Worship Kalpanam of the Supreme Self, Atmani, is a means by which the living entities can fulfill the divine purpose for which they exist. Intelligence, mind and senses are meant to be used for worshipping the Supreme Lord, whether or not the living entity has yet brought them to the stage of transcendental purification. How both purified and unpurified devotees use their intelligence, mind and senses in worshipping the Lord is described in reference to the following quote from Gopala Tapani Upanishad, Purva 12. Sa Pundarika Nayanam Megabham Vaidyutambaram Dvibhujam Mauna Mudradhyam Vanamalinam Ishwaram. The Supreme Lord, appearing in His two-armed form, had divine lotus eyes, of complexion like the color of a cloud, and garments that resembled lightning. He wore a garland of forest flowers, and His beauty was enhanced by His pose of meditative silence. The transcendental intelligence and senses of the Lord's perfect devotees correctly perceive His pure spiritual beauty, and their realizations are echoed in the Gopala Tapani Shruti's comparison of the Lord's eyes, body and clothing, to a lotus, a cloud and lightning. On the other hand, devotees on the level of sadhana, who are in the progress of becoming purified, have only barely realized the Supreme Lord's boundless spiritual beauty. Nonetheless, by hearing scriptural passages such as this one from the Gopala Tapani Upanishad, they engage in contemplating Him to the best of their fledgling ability. Although the neophyte devotees have not yet learned how to fully realize the Lord or meditate steadily on even the effulgence surrounding His body, still they take pleasure in presuming, "We are meditating on our Lord." And the Supreme Lord, moved by the waves of His boundless mercy, Himself thinks, "These devotees are meditating on Me." When their devotion matures, He draws them to His feet to engage in His intimate service. Thus, it is concluded that the Vedas have access to the personal identity of the Supreme only by His mercy.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganar Gunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So very instructive things in the purport of today's verse that you are discussing. It's said that unless and until one is favored by the Supreme Lord, one cannot see the Lord as He is. Srila Prabhupada once was asked by one person, he said, "Show me God. I want to see God." And Srila Prabhupada just told him one thing. He said, "If the sun is not existing, what to think of showing God? You cannot even see yourself also." Now this is one statement that he made, but it has such a profound meaning.
Srila Prabhupada wanted to emphasize this point that you are talking about showing the God, that show me God, but if the sun doesn't rise, you cannot do anything, you cannot see anything. Even if you have these eyes, you cannot look around anything, you cannot see yourself also. And to go deeper, we understand that, you know, if the sun doesn't rise, what happens? None of us will exist also. Forget about, you know, seeing ourselves or seeing God, we may not exist. Because everything that is existing here is because of the presence of sun. Because sun gives us energy, sun gives us light, and through energy is transformed to so many things, and then we are all living because of that. Whatever is there, everything around, is all manifestation of the sun's energy. Just transformed, and then we just are using it for our own thing. Even for digestion, so we need the Jatragni, which is nothing, but, you know, coming from the reflection of the sun. So, Srila Prabhupada was trying to emphasize this particular point that we are, you know, like fools asking to show God, but the very basic purpose, basic fact is that if the sun is not there, what can we do? We cannot do anything in this world. And elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada mentions that sun is nothing but who just reflecting the effulgence of his personality, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is two eyes, sun and moon are the two eyes. And Srila Prabhupada, at one different conversation, he was saying that you cannot see the sun when you want to see. Even if you have the material eyes also, if you want to see the sun, you cannot see the sun. He said there are so many fools and rascals. I'm just quoting what Srila Prabhupada says. I cannot say anyone or anyone called fools and rascals, but Prabhupada can say that. So Prabhupada says that fools and rascals, they say that I can show you God. People ask them, please show me God, and there are rascals who say, I will show you God. Come. He says, what can they show? He says, for showing, you should have a knowledge about the truth. What is what? Just like, if you don't know what is gold, or how does the gold look like, or what are the qualities of the gold, anybody will show you anything and say, this is gold, and you'll accept it. So unless until you don't have a knowledge, how can you understand what is the absolute truth? Forget about showing God. He says that these are the things happening that somebody wants to be cheated, and there are people who cheat. And he said, if at all if you want to see God, he said, it cannot be done by your own endeavor. You cannot just say, okay, I have a torchlight and I will show you where God is. It's not possible. You have to wait. If it is dark, you have to wait till the sun actually rises and exhibits or gives his darshan. Then only you can see the sun. By your own endeavor, you cannot. You cannot see the sun. It is only when the sun decides to rise and show himself, then only we can see. Similarly, it is said that unless and until, here in the purport is mentioned very nicely, that unless and until one is favored by the Lord, then only one can see him. So this is the theme that I thought I can just take up on today. And just quoting some few examples from the Shastra. One of the limbs of devotion service is to take darshan of the Lord. In the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila Dev is instructing devotee on the process of devotion service. And in that, she is explaining her as to how one should meditate upon the Lord. That one should meditate upon Lord by just first looking at the lotus feet of the Lord. We cannot just stand in front of the Lord and just look at his face. He said that he meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord. Why? The purpose of meditating on lotus feet of the Lord is because lotus feet of the Lord is like a thunderbolt, which will destroy all the sins that you have accumulated in your heart. And Kapil Dev says that you should meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord for a long, long time. You know, because symbolically, because we have so many sins in our heart, we have accumulated so many anarthas that we have. And when we meditate on Lord, the Lord actually is able to destroy that sins from within our heart. Then slowly then we go to the thighs. The thighs are nothing but, you know, representing the energies of the Lord. So many different energies that the Lord manifests, and those things we require the strength, and that is obtained by just taking the darshan of the thighs of the Lord. And then afterwards he says that you should take darshan of the hips of the Lord. And beautifully describes how the hips are becoming, you know, more beautiful, as it appears like a girdle which rests on the lotus, on a yellow garment which goes around the ankles. It looks so beautiful when the Lord is on the, Garuda carrier. So like that. And then afterwards says that you should meditate on the navel of the Lord. So when you meditate on the navel of the Lord, we meditate on the fact that how Brahmaji, the lotus stem and the lotus came from the navel, and Brahmaji was there and all the universes manifested through that navel. Then meditate on the chest of the Lord, which is a repository of or reservoir of Lakshmiji, where Lakshmiji resides, goddess of fortune resides, and the reservoir of all fortune is there. Then afterwards the neck of the Lord, which adorns the wonderful garments, the garlands and the jewels. Then afterwards you should meditate on the face of the Lord, smile of the Lord. When you see the Lord smile, then all the, you know, the anxieties, all the sadness from your heart goes off. That's how it said that one should meditate on the different limbs of the Lord. But finally, Kapila Muni explains to Devahuti that once the yogi meditates on this, unless and until, you know, you meditate and purify your senses by this, till that time, you'll never be able to see the Lord actually. One is seeing the Lord and another is again seeing the Lord. By seeing the Lord means what? You can just see the Lord, yes, and then go back, but nothing will happen. She said that the purification will take place only when you engage in devotional service of the Lord. He mentions, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, there is Nirbija Yoga and Sabija Yoga. Nirbija Yoga means it's like meditating on the different limbs of the Lord and then trying to, you know, pursue the Lord and meditating on with your intelligence and senses. And Sabija is that when you have the darshan of the Lord, but then unless until you just engage in devotional service of the Lord, the Lord will not reveal himself as he is. And that is only possible when you are have the Lord's grace, or when you are engaged in devotional service under the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master. So that's why it is that said that whenever the Lord, you know, when you are fortunate enough, the Lord just gets you in connection with a bona fide spiritual master, and then the bona fide spiritual master engages you in positive devotional service. That's a shortcut, you can say. When you have to purify, sarva padi virimuktam tat paratvina nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. That is when one engages in positive devotional service, or the principles and practices of devotional service, that's the time what happens is that then the Lord is automatically manifested within your heart. That is Sabija Yoga. Srila Prabhupada mentions that otherwise we need to, you know, make an endeavor to meditate on the Lord. You have to make this endeavor. But then for someone who is engaged in direct devotional service, it is said that the Lord manifests his form within. Because you are engaging directly in service of the Lord and his devotees, what happens is that you are constantly meditating on the Lord. Then you don't have to make a special endeavor to meditate on the personality of the Lord. At the same time, it is said that yasya deve para bhaktir tatha deve etha guru tasya te kritita artatam prakashante mahatmane. It means said that one who has implicit faith in the words of the spiritual master and the Lord, all the imports of Vedic literatures are manifested within your heart. So this is the essence, or you can say secret of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada mentions that in the third canto, in the 28th chapter, in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada mentions this is secret of success in Krishna consciousness. That when you engage and you have implicit faith in the words of the spiritual master and you are engaging in devotional service, then all the imports of Vedic literatures are manifested within your heart and the Lord reveals himself. You don't have to make a special endeavor, because ours is not an ascending process. Ours is a descending process. We just take the, you know, whatever we have knowledge, we just take it from the parampara, and then we just with utmost faith, we just engage in the devotional service. If you don't have faith, then whatever you may do may not really get a desired result. So just to quote some examples, that how by the grace of the Lord, it's said here that the Vedas have access to the personal identity by the Supreme only by His mercy and the mercy of the spiritual master. So we know that we have a story from the life of Shripad Ramanujacharya. I'll just quote one of those. We have an example that in Srirangam at one time, annually there's a procession which takes place outside in the courtyard of Srirangam Ranganath. And he said that one of those annual processions, it was said that there are so many people beating drums, singing wonderful glories of Lord Ranganath, the ladies dancing, and the palanquin of Lord Ranganath, the Utsav Murti, is passing by. And he said that, you know, in all these happenings, where so many people are completely absorbed in watching the wonderful form of Lord Ranganath in his Utsav Murti going through, there was one person who was not looking at Ranganath. He was holding an umbrella in one hand and a chamari in another hand, and he was holding an umbrella for a lady. And when everyone is looking at Lord Ranganath, what this person was doing is he was looking at that lady. And he was so mesmerized by the beauty of the lady that he was not aware about what's happening around him. Like there are people just pushing him, someone, you know, going from this side and that side, but he was not disturbed at all. He was not feeling that, you know, something else is important than this. And when Shripad Ramanujacharya was, when he was there with all his disciples, when he saw that, you know, this is happening, he was wondering, what is this person doing here? When everyone is just observing the Lord, this person is doing something else in the middle of everything happening. So he sent his disciple Dasharathi. He said, you just go and tell him to meet me. So Dasharathi, his disciple, goes to this person and tells him that, please, Ramanujacharya is calling you. But he's so much engrossed in, in his doing that service of holding an umbrella and waving chamar to this lady that he is not aware about what he's speaking about. So after repeatedly asking him, he had to raise his voice to tell him that Shripad Ramanujacharya is calling you, please. And that time his meditation got disturbed. And then he said, please, Ramanujacharya is calling you, he wants to see you. So then he tells the lady that, please, I am coming back soon, just wait here, because Gurudev is calling. Goes to Ramanujacharya, and Ramanujacharya says, what's happening with you? He said that, what are you doing in the middle of nowhere? You are just looking at this lady, you are doing something, and the entire population, the people here are looking at a wonderful form of the Lord, and you are doing something else. Why are you doing this? He said that, sir, this particular lady is so beautiful. I have seen all the things, all the beauties in this world, but I never saw the lady as beautiful as this. And of this, the most beautiful are her eyes, and which I cannot take off from meditation. He said, is it so? He asked him, what is your name? He says, I am Dhanurdas. He says, I live in a village some few distance from here, from Ranganath, and I am a wrestler, and I am serving a local king in that place, and she is a courtesan, and she is also staying in the same place. And I am enamored by beauty, and all the time I am only just remembering, thinking about her only. Then Shripad Ramanujacharya understands this. He said, if I show you a form which is more beautiful than this, then will you leave her and will you engage in that person's service? He says, I can assure you, Dhanudhar says, there is no one as beautiful as her, but If you can show me, yes, I am ready to see that. He says, come tomorrow in the evening. I will show you. And the next day, in the evening, Shripad Ramanacharya, so Dhanudas goes to his place and meets Ramanacharya. Ramanacharya says, okay, come, let's go. He takes him to the altar of Ranganath, and that was the evening time. And Shripad Ramanacharya intensely prays to Ranganath. He says, oh my Lord Ranganath, please attract the heart of this lusty Dhanurdas. I want him to serve you. I want him to be engaged in your service. So, at that time, the pujari, it was dark. If you see in the South India, the temples, you don't see lights. It just, if you want to have a darshan, then the pujari has to light a lamp and then show the light in front of the body, the face, and then only you can see. And Ranganath there is sleeping, resting on the Anantashesh. And then just at that time, the pujari takes a lamp. It's time for the aarti also. And the pujari starts showing the lamp from the feet. So Dhanurdas sees the feet of the Lord. Then he shows the thighs. Takes darshan of the thighs. Then he shows the hips. Then he shows the navel. Then the chest. As and when he is showing this, Dhanurdas' heart completely becomes attracted to this form of the Lord, the different parts of the Lord. And finally, when he sees, when the pujari shows the Lord's beautiful face, and when he looks at the eyes of the Lord, his heart fully melts. And his heart fully melts, he just, you know, has all those ecstatic symptoms manifested in his body. His limbs start trembling, the tears from his eyes, hairs are standing on end. And then he falls flat at the feet of Shripad Ramanacharya. And he said, please, please engage me in your service. I want to accept you as my guru for the rest of eternity, and please help me to serve. And that time he realizes, he says, the beauty of the Lord cannot match with anything in this world. So much spiritual divine vision that was given to him by the grace of his guru, Shripad Ramanacharya. Now if you see, what are these material eyes? You know, you may just see the Lord. But then, when by the grace of the spiritual master, when we engage in devotional service, when he favors, that time what happens, then we see, when you have the divine vision to see the Lord. Otherwise, we'll be just having that, but there'll be no transformation. There'll be no purification of the heart. Srila Prabhupada mentions that, you know, unless and until your senses are not purified, you'll not be able to see the Lord as is. Or you'll not be able to perceive the Lord in his form. Also mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's another story. We all know about it, that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he goes to South India, and during the Chaturmasya period, he stays in Lord Srirangam at the house of Vyankatabhat. And every day he would go to the Ranganath temple to take darshan of the Lord. And there was one South Indian Brahmana, Vaishnava Brahmana, who would always also go every day to the temple to take darshan. And in the courtyard of the temple, he would just open up Bhagavad Gita and start reciting the verses of Bhagavad Gita. But because being illiterate, he would not be able to recite the verses as it is. And because of which, people, the so-called Brahmins, would, when they would pass by, they would just make fun of him. They would give names to him. And they would laugh at him. But he would never be disturbed. He would always be reading Bhagavad Gita. But whenever he would read Bhagavad Gita, he would always have tears in his eyes. He would always be in ecstasy. And once when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was passing by him, he just saw that this person is in transcendental ecstasy while reading Bhagavad Gita. But at the same time, he is finding that he is not able to, he is not reading it properly. So he approaches him. He says, my dear Brahman, I see that you are reading Bhagavad Gita, but what is it? Why are you reading like this? You are not able to read? He said, I am an illiterate person. I don't know how to read. But because I have been told by my spiritual master that I should read Bhagavad Gita every day, that's why I am reading Bhagavad Gita. He said, then what makes you tremble and what makes you go into this ecstasy that I am seeing? He said, whenever I see, since I am not able to understand also, I try to read, but I am not able to understand the verses. But when I see the Lord, the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, becoming a charioteer of Arjun and driving his chariot, that personality who is sitting on the chariot looks so effulgent, so beautiful, the beauty surpassing all other beauty. I am just looking at this, how this person, Supreme Personal Godhead, is becoming a charioteer of his dear devotee Lord Arjun, his devotee Arjun. Seeing this, I am feeling great bliss and I am having all this ecstatic symptoms manifested. I don't know what's happening to me, but whenever I am seeing this face, even this form of the Lord, I am having these symptoms. So that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looks at him, he smiles. He said, you have understood the essence of the scriptures. He says, because you have implicit faith in the orders of spiritual master and because you are following that instruction, taken the instruction to your heart, that's why the Lord is manifesting. He says, no one else will get this. You are the one who is most fortunate enough to get that mercy of the Lord. So, here we find that the South Indian Brahmin, even though he was illiterate, Srila Prabhupada mentions, it's not by scholarly nature that you can understand the Lord as it is. It's not by reading scriptures thoroughly, memorizing the shlokas, that you may be able to understand the Lord. It's not that by having a MA or a PhD degree that you may understand the Lord. He says, the Lord is not bound by this. It's transcendental science. He says, you cannot understand by your scholarly nature. You can understand only when the Lord favors you. Srila Prabhupada elsewhere mentions. He says, whether you are a scholar or not, or whether you are illiterate or illiterate, it doesn't matter. Even if somebody is illiterate also, if that person has implicit faith in the orders of his spiritual master, by the grace of the spiritual master, that person can, the Lord can show his divine form. He can get his divine vision. So this particular story also illustrates that how when favored by the Lord, then we can perceive the Lord as He is. Once His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was mentioning that when somebody comes to a temple and takes darshan of the Lord, in what consciousness somebody is taking darshan, we don't know. Or what consciousness somebody is coming and, you know, appreciating Lord or the temple, we don't know. Because there can be different consciousness. Somebody may see the whole thing and maybe he may be thinking that, how nice carvings. Somebody may see the Lord and may say that, it's a nice form of the Lord. And maybe nice marble, which marble or what, you know, like that. Different people may come with different consciousness and see the Lord in a different way. It's like that. But then, if you have to have a divine vision, then one needs to be regularly engaged in the service of the Lord. And then only by His mercy, then the Lord can reveal Himself. You cannot say that, show me God. It will only be possible by when Lord wants to reveal you. So there is a nice story again in the pages of Sri Sampradaya literatures. That's again with the Ramanacharya pastime. It is said that Ramanacharya was staying in Srirangam and he was cultivating and inspiring many to take shelter of the Lord and engaging in devotional service. He had made many disciples. Prominently were Kuresh and Dasharathi, who were always there. As I mentioned about Dhanurdas, also Dhanurdas became also one of his intimate disciples, became a grahastha, served him so nicely while staying in Srirangam. So his two intimate disciples were Kuresh and Dasharathi. It is said that Kuresh was a very wealthy person.
and he actually owned a tract of land. And every day he would give so much of wealth in charity. You know, so much of wealth in charity that once Lakshmi Devi asked Kanchipurna, who is the guru of Sri Ramanacharya also, and was worshipping Vardaraj in Kanchipuram. So once Lakshmiji asked Kanchipurna, who is this? I see that every day the noise of door closing is being heard. You know, somebody is closing the door in the middle of the night. He says, who is, house is this? So Kanchipurna says, this is a house of devotee Kuresh. He's very wealthy, and every day whoever comes, at you know, whatever anybody wants, he just gives them in charity, you know, without considering whatever that person's status is or whatever their person's abilities, just gives them all the wealth, whatever he has. And midnight, the door closes. So Lakshmiji tells, I want to see. Please tell him that I want to meet him. Kuresh is approached and said, the Lakshmiji wants to meet you. So Kuresh is wondering, why Lakshmiji wants to meet me? Because Lakshmiji has come to know that you are giving so much of wealth in charity. She wants to take your darshan. She wants you to come to the temple. Kuresh is wondering that, what is this? The Supreme Goddess of Fortune wants to see me? That means whatever I am doing is not something which I should be doing within, because it's like a show. I am just trying to show that I am giving wealth in charity, and that is attracting Lord Lakshmiji. This is something what is mundane, and Lakshmiji is attracted to this. So he feels so embarrassed that, I think if that is what is attracting Lakshmiji to me, which is not right, I think I should give off all my wealth and I should engage only in devotional service, because this is what I want to do. And at the next moment, he consults his wife, Andal, and then says that we both should quit this, we leave everything and go and take shelter of Ramanacharya and serve him. And he relinquishes all his wealth and then approaches Shripad Ramanujacharya and then surrenders his life for devotional service at the feet of Shripad Ramanacharya. And then thus, Kuresh performs so many services. There are so many activities that Kuresh does for the pleasure of Shripad Ramanujacharya. There is a king named Kulatunga. He was a king of the Chola dynasty, was ruling at that time in Kanchipuram. And he was a Shaivite. He was a devotee of Lord Shiva. And it is said that he wanted people to take shelter of Shiva. And there was a minister, Chatugram, who was envious of Shripad Ramanacharya. In fact, he had taken shelter of Kuresh. He was a disciple of Kuresh. Some or the other, because of ego, because of any whatever, he had some other interest. He just approached Kulatunga and became his minister. And he told Kulatunga that if you want everyone to become the devotees of Lord Shiva, then what you should do is that you should somehow or the other finish Shripad Ramacharya or make him surrender to you and make him accept Shiva as the supreme. So Kulatunga hears this and he decides to call Shripad Ramacharya over to Kanchipuram. He sends soldiers to Srirangam to find out and fetch Shripad Ramanujacharya. At that time, Shripad Ramanujacharya had gone to Kaveri for taking bath. And then when the news comes that he's been asked to come to Kanchipuram by Kulatunga, he did not know what is the reason why he's been called, but he was ready to leave. But Kuresh understood, because Kuresh knew that Chatugram, his disciple, was with the Kulatunga king, and he knew the motives. So he realized that it is not good that his spiritual master goes to Kanchipuram. So he approaches his Gurudev and he says, I advise you not to go there. I want you to leave this place and go away. And Instead of you, I will go, because as it is, the king doesn't know you, he doesn't know your face. That time there was nothing like, you know, high five taking world in the internet. So the person, he doesn't know your face, he doesn't know you. So, you know, I will go in his place. So let's exchange our garments. So his white dress he gives to Shripad Ramanacharya. Ramanacharya's saffron dress he takes, so he just wears that dress and he tells Ramanacharya and says, you please leave with all his disciples. I will go and face him. Because I sense some danger and it may be possible that you may not come alive also back. And I want to leave my body. I want to dedicate this body for you, for your pleasure. So Shripad Ramanuja had tears in his eyes for the nature of his disciple Kuresh. Reluctantly agrees to leave that place with his disciples. At that time, Mahapurna, who is also one of Shripad Ramanuja's guru, he says, I am too old. I am not able to. I will not be able to join you for escaping from this place. Let me go with Kuresh and let me also face Kulatunga. If at all, if I have to leave the body, let me leave my body over here. So, Kuresh and Mahapurna, they both go to the place Kanjipuram. And there, he asks a question, Kulatunga. He thinks that he is Ramanujacharya. He says, please tell me, what is the ultimate goal of life? And Kuresh, who is known as Ramanacharya over there, he says the ultimate goal of life is taking shelter of Vishnu. So that makes him very angry. He calls the pandits for debate. And there's a long debate which takes place and both Mahapurna and Kuresh, both of them, they fully defeat these pandits on the basis of Shastra. Establishing service to Lord Vishnu is a supreme, and supreme, the personality of Godhead is Sri Vishnu, and one should surrender his life. So this makes Kulatunga more angry. He says that I want you to sign this paper. If you don't sign this paper, I will kill you. So he gives them the paper to sign. And in the paper, you know, it is written that Lord Shiva is the supreme and you are supposed to sign that. So when they sign, they give it back to him, they write something in it, which Kulatunga did not realize what it is. But when he takes that paper, he becomes more furious. Because it's written there that even Drona is heavier or it is greater than Shiva. Because in that time, those times, like there are weight systems, like how we have kilos and kilograms, no, mega, like this, tons. So Drona and Shiva were like different weights. So Shiva was of a lighter weight and Drona was of heavier weight when you have to weigh something. So Drona was, so they wrote that even Drona is, you know, greater than Shiva. It was not like, you know, they wanted to make fun of Shiva, but they wanted to convey this particular fact to the king that, you know, Shiva is not a supreme. Vishnu is a supreme. So they wanted to convey this. And this made Kulatunga more angry. And he gave order that they should be killed. But then somebody reminded that Kulatunga, when he was small, also had a sister who was haunted by a ghost. And at that time, Shripad Ramanacharya had, you know, exercised. She had removed that ghost out from her body. So Kulatunga is reminded of that. And when Kulatunga heard this, he said, okay, because you have saved my sister's life, instead of killing you, I will have your eyes plucked. And he orders the soldiers that you take them, both of them, to the forest and pluck your eyes. Pluck their eyes. So they take them deep in the forest and the soldiers pluck the eyes of both Kuresh and Shripad Mahapurna. And even at that time when they're plucking, Kuresh is thanking the Lord. That, thank you my Lord that you have allowed me to do some devotional service for my spiritual master Shripad Ramanujacharya. Thank you. And he's thanking the soldiers that you have become an instrument for allowing me to do this service. And the soldiers also were wondering how you know, we are doing such a heinous activity and still he is thanking us and being grateful. So some of them, they did the service, but then the hearts melted, and they helped, the soldiers helped them to at least reach Ranganath. And Mahapurna, in the, on the way, he left his body because he could not tolerate the pain, and also the age was not, you know, on his side. He just left the body in midway, and he left the body at the, you know, at the, just, you know, hold with the, at the feet of, not feet, just next to Kuresh. And Kuresh prayed for him. He left, entered Sri Rangakshetra, and he was doing his bhajan. Meanwhile, Shripad Ramanacharya left and settled in Melkote. And for almost like 12 to 15 years, he was in Melkote. And he was doing his preaching over there. He was in exile, obviously. But he got the news that Kuresh's eyes have been plucked. So Shripad Ramanacharya had tears in his eyes for the surrender of his disciple. What risk that he took for him. So he sent a message that he should go to Kanchipuram. He should go to Vardaraj, sing glories of the Lord, and ask him to get his eyes back. So on his order, Kuresh goes. He just goes to Vardaraj, and he sings wonderful, you know, glories of the Lord, praising the Lord. And one thing about Vardaraj was that, you know, he would always reciprocate with the devotee and speak to the devotee, speak to Kanchipurna. So here, when Kuresh went and glorified the Lord with wonderful praises, wonderful shlokas, Lord Vardaraj came and appeared. I said, please, I am pleased with you. Ask me for benediction. What do you want? He did not ask for his eyes. He said first, he said, Chatugram, who is my disciple, he left me and went and joined Kolatunga. He conspired against Shripad Ramanacharya, got us there, and he had done such a heinous crime. For this, I know that he is going to go to hellish planets and suffer a lot. Please, let him go to Vaikuntha and let him have your darshan, let him serve. He said, is that all that you want? Please, yes. Okay. He will go to Vaikuntha and have my darshan. You have fulfilled your desire. Goes back. The news reaches Shripad Ramanacharya. He again sends a message to Kuresh. He says, please go to Vardaraj and ask him for eyes. So Kuresh again goes. And then he again sings glories. And Vardaraj again comes in front of him. He says, please tell me, what do you want? I can give you any benediction. I can give your eyes. So Kuresh remembers. He says, Kolatunga, who is such a sinful king, might have done so many sinful activities while being a king. Now he's left his body, and right now he may be also suffering in hell. I want him to be liberated and let him go to Vaikuntha and take a darshan. He says, is that all? He says, yes, that's all. He says, I'll fulfill that desire of yours. Because of a desire, he'll get Vaikuntha. And then Kuresh goes back. By that time, Ramanacharya already has completed his period of exile. He comes back to Sri Rangam. And he tells Kuresh, your body is my property. It's not your property. Your eyes are my eyes. I want my eyes. You go to Vardaraj and you ask for my eyes, which are not yours. They are my eyes. Please go and ask for your eyes. So Kuresh goes back. Ramanacharya also accompanies. Kuresh sings praises to the Lord. And after some time, Vardaraj appears in front of Kuresh.
At that time, Ramanuja is not there.
So, Varadaraj tells Kuresh, Kuresh, please tell me, what do you want? Your spiritual master wants your eyes back. Please, ask for that benediction. Then Kuresh says, what are the use of this material eyes? I don't want to see the things of this world. Because nothing in this world is worth seeing for me. Please give me the divine eyes by which I can see your form forever. At the same time also give me the eyes, divine vision, so that I can see the form of my spiritual master. And Varadaraj becomes very pleased with him. He said, I will give you that benediction. And he gives him that divine eyes. When Sripad Ramanuja comes back, he sees that Kuresh's eyes are still not, his eyes are still burned. But then the Lord reveals to him that he has already been given the divine eyes. So asks, Ramanuja asks him, he says, Kuresh, what are you seeing? What do you see? So then Kuresh describes the form of the Lord. What does he wear? What is he wearing? You know, what garland he is wearing? What necklace is he adorned with? The entire form of the Lord he describes in detail to Sripad Ramanujacharya. And not only that, he is also describing the form of Sripad Ramanujacharya also. How Ramanujacharya is, what is he doing, what is he wearing, what is he holding in his hand. Everything. And then Sripad Ramanujacharya becomes very pleased. He says, you have been blessed by the divine vision. He says, that's what is the perfection of life. Srila Prabhupada, you know, mentions at one place that when somebody is bestowed with this divine vision, then this material eyes, you know, they're insignificant. They don't really matter much, you know. It's just that you have to use these material eyes for engaging yourself. Like in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Amrish Maharaj has mentioned that how he uses his eyes to see the wonderful form of the Lord and to see the form of the devotees. It's like that. So we see through this particular episode that, you know, of course this is something very extreme. We cannot imitate such a personality like Kuresh, but want to make or drive home a fact that how when one sincerely serves, you know, the devotees with a mood to please the devotee, then what happens? The Lord becomes pleased with you. And when the Lord is pleased with you, then the Lord will reveal himself to you. You know, it's not that by our endeavor, as I was mentioning earlier, it's not by our endeavor that we will be able to see the Lord. It's only when the Lord reveals to us, then we can see his form. You know, we just are only able, we only engage in the service and let the Lord reveal when he wants to reveal. It's like that. Just like Kuresh, he didn't want to, you know, see the Lord, or he didn't want to have the eyes, material things. He didn't want that material benediction. But then the Lord gave him the divine vision by which he could actually see the Lord, see the form of his spiritual master. So that should be our meditation, that we should always be meditating on how we can please and how we can serve the Lord. And when we please, serve the Lord and serve the Lord and please the Lord's devotees. Now, every endeavor we should make to see that, you know, we please the devotees. We go out of our way to see that we give utmost pleasure to the Lord's devotees. Serve them so that they can be pleased by your service. And when you do that, that time the Lord will give us a special favor. In what way the Lord favors us, that is up to him. But we do our service of just pleasing his devotees. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.